cara. Eu sou assim.
Make sure
sure that within 3 months those have been filled. The benefits of our international agreements, if there are any, because we've just passed a number of them just now. We do not expect anything, but if there's anything, perhaps we'd be happy to hear from the department. The issue of our quality control as in tourism, the accommodation and other aspects of tourism, which are most of the time not in under our control. They are controlled by other stakeholders, and quite often we find ourselves as tourism having to depend very much on situations that do not depend on our mandate. And we have also a responsibility in as far as Millennium Development Goals are concerned. We adopted a position at the United Nations where we've got, from our side, perhaps that would be a reduction in poverty, and then that could come as a way from the jobs we create, that could come from the EPWP projects, extended public works programs, or from other distinct, from other sources. I'm sure perhaps if we are not prepared for them, let us develop now that within our program so that we can capture what we have done in terms of the Millennium Development Goals. How far in the Millennium Development Goals have we contributed to gender equity? That is one of the goals, if you look at the 8 goals. How much have we contributed to environmental issues? What incentives do we have? What do we have in place? The issue of partnerships for development. I think broadly, those are the things that are within the ambit of our department. And then I've looked at the strategy. Perhaps some of them are not there as such, but they are there if you look at the whole strategic plan, but not labeled as such. But so far, everything has been going well, and we wish the department and the ministry all the best. But we promise you that despite your good performance, our responsibility remains oversight. We've got to be vigilant. So over to you, Honorable Minister.
Chairperson, thank you very much to you personally and to the members of the committee. We appreciate the invitation to make presentations to you. I was made aware of your time constraints, so we will stick to the program as agreed with you. I was asked to make some introductory remarks of not longer than 10 minutes. Hopefully it will be shorter. Let me start with two of the points that you made, Chairperson. Firstly, on your summit, let me congratulate you. I also think it was a huge success. Our department also participated, and I must say a wide range of stakeholders. So anything that can help us to build better understanding between all the stakeholders is quite helpful. The second point that you made is a very important one. Our department relies on other departments, other private institutions, to achieve success. And in a sense, many of them are enablers of what we would like to do. Transport, in terms of the number of landing slots awarded, as well as other departments, and it is important that we build a strong working relationship with them. And I was very impressed to see that there were also a number of our colleagues from those committees that attended your summit. I would also like to put on record, Mr. Chairperson, that we appreciate the very open and constructive relationship that we enjoy with your committee. You're absolutely right. We are accountable to you and we are here to account, but we appreciate the quality of the working relationship with the committee. You will have presentations later on by the department, led by the Director General, Mr. Kingsley Makubela. He's leading a delegation of DDG's chief directors from the department, and they will all make their inputs. And then also from our public entity, the CEO, Ms. Tandiwa January McLean. She is accompanied, I see the CFO there, Mr. Johan van der Walt, probably others as well, so they will also give you a detailed briefing. Let me start with the baseline, Chairperson. In 1994, tourism made a contribution of 5% to GDP, and we increased that to 7.7%. Slowly, it is starting to take its rightful place as a very important economic sector. It is now being realized as such a sector. As we discussed at the summit, there are a number of indicators that support that progress. Tourism is now one of the six focus areas in the new growth plan. It is part of IMAP 2, and it is also in a number of delivery agreements. I could also inform my colleague that we will be launching the National Tourism Sector Strategy on Thursday, the 24th of March, in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We've invited the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee as well as of the Select Committee to attend the launch. Then, 2 points that I would like to brief the committee on, and we're quite willing in the presentations to take questions on the detail. On firstly, the tourist arrivals, international tourist arrivals. Very briefly, domestic tourism, because you will get a briefing on that. And then I would just like to give colleagues in the third place a very brief report back about one of the issues that we are busy with dealing at the international level, and that is the issue of unilateral taxes that are being imposed by some EU countries. Let me start with the foreign arrivals figures, tourist figures. I announced a few days ago that we had quite impressive growth in 2010. 15.5% growth 2010 year on year compared to 2009. Let us just remember what happened globally in 2010. We were still dealing with the fallout of the global economic crisis. Globally, tourism grew by 6.7%. In 2009, globally, we had negative growth of minus 4%. In 2009, we still registered positive growth, 3.6% growth. So our 15.5% growth in 2010 was growth on growth. So we are quite satisfied with what happened in 2010. It was a very, very good year for us indeed. The World Cup was a bonus. In analyzing the numbers, it is quite clear that the World Cup was worth every cent of our investment. Just over 300,000 tourist arrivals directly linked to the World Cup in June, July 2010. But the good news was that even if we subtract the 4% growth in June, July 2010, we still had double-digit growth in 2010, 11%. And if we further analyze the figures, what is very encouraging is that we had growth each and every month of 2010, or the other 10 months outside of June, July. So that is it's encouraging, it's good news that we can report to the committee. But even if we compare ourselves to other regions in the world, we have registered the highest growth of any region in the world. That was also very encouraging. But also growth from our markets, from the different markets to South Africa, was impressive. Europe, 8.1%. And what is significant of that 8.1% is that it is from a market that started to stagnate, because not only of the economic crisis, but the middle class in that part of the world is obviously stagnating compared to the emerging markets, where there is tremendous growth in the middle classes there. We just returned from ITB in Berlin last week. We were there, and I would like to report to you, Chairperson, for the first time in a number of years, there is new energy in that market. Our industry signed up good business last week at the ITB, be. And for the first time in the last 4 or 5 years, there seems to be significant growth in that market, echoing what happened from that market last year. Then North America, 22.5%. Central and South America, 109.2%. But that was from a very low base, and that was basically World Cup growth. But the important issue is it is opening up a market where we never really had a profile before. The one market that we have to lift out as a very important future growth market for us is Brazil. Outbound growth in Brazil last year was 26%, and we didn't get a lot of that growth. So that is certainly a country that we will have to spend much more in terms of energy as well as other resources. Australasia, 26.3%, Asia, 39%, Middle East, 19.3%, and Africa, 12.8%. Now, the top five overseas source markets continue to be U.K., U.S.A., Germany, the Netherlands, and France. But what was notable was our growth from the African air markets. It is a point that we have made to the committee before, is that our own continent should not be underestimated in terms of its future tourism potential. Land markets, but also the air markets. And I spoke about aviation as one of our major enablers. It was good news that South African Airways announced recently that they're going to fly to a number of new destinations on the African continent, and we will certainly see that reflected in our figures next year. Then, in terms of domestic tourism, Chairperson, we've always made the point to you that that really forms the backbone of any tourism industry, and ours as well. But in our country, we had to deal with the historical remnants of people not seeing themselves as tourists in their own country. And we continue to invest in domestic tourism. Over the last few years, we've invested, last 4 years, 70 million rand in advertising, radio, print advertising, billboards, etc., to encourage people to travel more. Last year, we had 14.6 million adults traveling in the country. That translated into 30 million domestic trips and total annual spend of just more than 22 billion rand. But we need to build our domestic tourism industry. And very soon, we will announce an upgrading of the Short Left campaign, working closely with the provinces. The last issue, Chairperson, that I would like to report back to the committee is the issue of unilaterally imposed taxes from some of the European countries. It is an issue that we should not underestimate. If we analyze the tax that tourists from some parts of the world pay to visit South Africa, it is quite a substantial part of what they have to pay. As just one example, if one adds up all the taxes from a destination such as Germany, taxes now makes up almost 50% of a ticket from that destination. What is new is the so-called departure taxes that are being announced by some of the European countries. It started in the United Kingdom with their new departure tax, APD. Then it was followed by Germany and the Netherlands, and then recently Austria. I must say, to the credit of the Dutch government, after experimenting with a new departure tax for a short while, they made a U-turn and they abolished the tax when they started to realize the damage to their own tourism economy. And in the UK, it's already £75 per ticket economy class, £150 for a business class ticket. So if we're talking about a family of four flying economy class, it's already, what's it, £280. So it is, well, more, 300. So it is something that we certainly should continue to highlight and to apply pressure on. We issued communique last week at the ITB from like-minded countries. And it was very encouraging. We took the initiative, invited some of the long-haul destinations to see if we can reach agreement on taking a common stand, a common view on this issue. And I'm quite sure there are copies of the communique and the press statement available to colleagues here. We will have a follow-up meeting soon, as well as hopefully meetings with the destinations that imposed this tax. Now, Chairperson, it can add anything between 3 and 5% to an airline ticket. There's absolutely no doubt that it has an influence on our figures. Some of the airlines flying from the UK to South Africa informed us that it is anything between 10 and 12%, a drop of anything between 10 and 12% in their numbers that they attribute directly to the APD. Not other economic factors, nothing to do with our destination, directly to this new departure tax. The problem with this departure tax is if we don't turn this around, it's going to become a pandemic all over the world. Not only developed countries, but we are very concerned that some developing countries may also think that tourists are an easy target. Because if you think about it, it's a discriminatory tax, it's a tax on tourism, it's a tax on the non-voting public, because none of us can vote for the British government in protest against the tax. So we have never questioned the right of any country to raise taxes. We also have a tax in our country, like most, almost all countries, have a tax on departure and so on. But then it should be fair, it should be reasonable, it should be transparent, and it should be non-discriminatory. And these taxes in the EU are clearly discriminatory. They are not transparent because initially we were told that they are environmental taxes. They are not environmental taxes. They are not ring fence. They are actually a means of those governments to deal with their budget deficits. And if we look at the order of magnitude compared to what we do here and other countries do, it is certainly not fair and reasonable. So that is an issue that I would like the committee also to take note of. And the more we can highlight this issue, the more we can put pressure, the better. And Chairperson, for instance, as one mechanism, it may be good if the committee also feel that this is the kind of issue that they can take up through parliamentary structures with their sister parliaments and members of parliament in those countries. Chairperson, I'm going to stop there. All the other issues that we would like to report back to the committee are part of the two presentations that you will receive from the department and from SA Tourism. Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure, Honourable Minister. And perhaps without much ado, let us just go to the program. We shall have a briefing by the National Department of Tourism and SA Tourism on strategic and annual performance. The first item is scheduled for 60 minutes. That will be a presentation by the National Department of Tourism. And then we shall go for tea. And then the second presentation shall be that of South African tourism. And thereafter, we shall be having questions, answers, and discussion. We have three apologies from Mr. Grumbok. I see Ma'am Zigalala. She submitted her apology. And then there's a third apology from two apologies. Yes, otherwise there are no other apologies. Let me request members, if you are going to be absent from the meeting, it is always good in any meeting to submit an apology. It is good manners. Yes, ma'am.
I've
Well, surely my secretary does not have one, and the committee secretary does not have one. Hello, Mazigalana.
Chairperson, I think it was just a mistake from the PA to send an apology on my behalf, because every Tuesday it's tourism. Come rain, come sunshine. Thank you.
I know, and thank you very much for that. But I think thanks Makasi for the apology. But I think we should all conduct ourselves professionally. That is the bottom line. Apology, if you are not going to be in a meeting, is always good for any meeting, for any well working entity or organization. Okay, over to you, DG.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chair, we maybe before we do the presentation, let one put on the record of this meeting, Chairperson, how we as a department appreciate the support that you are personally giving and the support of the committee giving to the department throughout this financial year. We were able to achieve some of the milestones mainly due to the support of the committee, and we are most grateful for your support. Equally, Chairperson, would like to acknowledge the support that we are getting as a department from the Minister and the Deputy Minister in terms of the role and the political leadership that they give to the department and how close they are to issues that we are running in the department. We're really most grateful for that. But also, Chairperson, to put on record again the support that I personally have received from my management team. Since my arrival in the department, I've received tremendous support in terms of integrating me in the department systems, issues, terminologies used in the department, the strategy that is driven in the department. I really received very good support from the entire management team. The support by management team is a reflection of a broader support that one gets within the department. We have a lot of people, Chairperson, who are driving most of these issues that you hardly see here. These are men and women who are actually, as we are here, sitting and driving the strategy of the department. Really, I'd like to acknowledge the support that they have given to me and to the entire management team. Also, Chairperson, the Sarafian Tourism has been very instrumental in providing all the necessary support to the department. And I really like to acknowledge their support and the important role they play in marketing the country. The CEO has been very instrumental in giving the department the support, Chairperson. Part of the successes that we are likely to achieve is mainly because of the commitment from the entire team from the Sarafica Tourism. I thought before we do this presentation, it's very useful to acknowledge the role that is played by most of the people that you don't see here. And I must confess that most of the things that are done in the department are not driven by the managers. Actually, they are done by ordinary people who are, as we are talking, as I indicated, Chairperson, running the entire strategy of the department, doing the research on new challenges, interacting and managing the relationship that we have with stakeholders and provinces. And part of that is mainly because of the commitment that they have in seeing the department moving to different levels of performance. Chairperson, with your permission, may I then request we would divide this presentation into two parts. On the strategic banner, request that Long Zamobeng to run the presentation on that. And after that, Ralph Ackerman will do the presentation on our finances. I must say, in terms of the strategy, as we did
during the September midterm review and in our interaction with the committee, we have reflected on concerns and issues that you raised in terms of beefing up and strengthening our strategic plan. So those issues are reflected in the strategy for the next financial year. So rest assured in terms of accommodation of those issues as we move forward, Chairperson. The only thing you would realize during this year, there's been a slight shift in terms of the normal process and procedure of presenting our strategies to the committee. It's mainly because of that you realize we used the information that you provided us during September to beef up the strategy. I think the concerns that were raised by members here are truly reflected in our new strategy as we move forward. Now, the strategy, Chairperson, you would know better than I. It's a living document. We really have to keep on interrogating the implementation, new issues that are arising, and really see how best to make out of whatever challenges we're having. The situation in Japan now, it's going to pose very daunting challenges to us. As Japan is the third largest economy in the world, the contribution of the Japanese is felt throughout. I was listening to the news this morning, Minister. They were saying the Reserve Bank in Japan is pumping about $30 billion into the money circulation to try to stimulate the markets, to ensure that the markets do not collapse. So there's a big concern around the market system in Japan. And Japan has always been one of the countries that are high spenders in terms of the tourists they spend here. They don't send large numbers, but they spend good amount of money. So it would affect the global travel and tourism, the impact of the tsunami there. Equally, issues around North Africa and so on are going to present new challenges. The stereotype profiling that we're going to suffer from as Africans would keep on coming. This matter was better discussed in the workshop that you organized, and I think the success of that workshop can be measured in terms of the predictions that all the role players had about the industry and the focus in terms of really staying the course in developing this industry. So, Chairperson, without further ado, with your permission, Nom Zamobengu can run us through the strategy, but really there are no surprises in the strategy as such. Thank you.
Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and Minister. I would just say that the presentation is based on the document that has been circulated, which is the actual strategy document and the annual performance plan. The presentation itself has also been circulated. It's not much different from the document members already had. You will note, Honorable Members, that we are still moving towards achieving a globally celebrated, we want to be globally celebrated as a leader in tourism excellence. Our mission is still to collectively and boldly promote responsible tourism and sustainable tourism for the benefit of all South Africans. Our values are still based on Ubuntu and the Batutili principle. We want to be a responsible government department that is responsive to the needs of the people, serving them with pride and excellence, with a sense of professionalism and openness. We are maintaining these from our current version of the strategy. Our constitutional and legislative mandate comes from the Constitution itself, the current Tourism Act, which is the 1993 version, and our policy mandate is the White Paper on Tourism Development and Promotion of 1996. The department this year plans to implement the following. The department intends to implement the following plan policy initiatives. If I may just mention now that the requirement for the finalization of the plan for this year required that all information be packaged per program in the plan. So all of the information will be per program. In administration, our main policy initiative is going to be the Enterprise Architecture Framework for the National Department of Tourism. The Tourism Development Program will implement the Rural Tourism Strategy, the Heritage Tourism Strategy, Social Tourism Strategy, Product Development Master Plan, Niche Tourism Framework and related strategies. The Tourism Growth Program will focus draft on the different framework for tourism sector, generic service sector and standards, consumer feedback guidelines, consumer satisfaction framework, the South African national standards approved minimum standards for responsible tourism organization system. We would like also to finalize the tourism action plan in response of the climate change challenge, as well as the national responsible tourism strategy. Policy, research, monitoring and evaluation program will focus on the domestic tourism strategy, crisis management framework, national visitor information framework, the framework for national tourism information gateway, as well as the framework for local government tourism development and promotion support, a framework for the registration of tourism businesses, and the sector partner strategy. These are the five goals, the four goals that are the departmental goals. First, we want to achieve good corporate and cooperative governance. We want to improve the impact of tourism on the economy of the South Africans, to strengthen collaboration and partnerships within the tourism sector, and to improve the competitiveness, growth, and sustainability of the tourism industry. We also want to the tourism priorities be integrated with other sector departments, provincial and local government planning, as well as improve tourism sector research, information, and knowledge management. I will move on quickly, Chair, to the program one, information, which is administration. Under program one, we manage organizational performance management system. We would like to recruit and maintain a capable and skilled workforce. We would like to ensure that the department as an organization provides efficient service delivery. We are responsible also to ensure the positive image of the department. We are responsible for the effective internal audit services, as well as international cooperation and integration, as well as provide corporate legal support to the department, and we are responsible for ensuring the economic efficient and effective use of departmental resources. Some of the risks that need to be managed and mitigated against under Program 1 is the possibility of poor implementation of systems, which are going to manage by policy initiatives we already outlined prior on the enterprise architecture framework for the department. We want to avoid possible risk of inadequate intergovernmental coordination and poor stakeholder coordination by formalizing a governance framework with the branch policy. We want to guard against the disregard of a communication policy within the department by implementing a communication policy which is being finalized currently. We want also to ensure to guard against the inadequate use of financial and human resources by detailed planning and costing of projects and capacity development. We also want to guard against the possible risk of non-compliance with prescripts by regularly reviewing departmental policies to ensure that we are always in line with what is required. On a lot of the work that occurs under Program 1 is already guided by some regulatory requirements in government, and the bulk of the work, therefore, under performance management, under financial management, human capacity development, already must then comply with particular regulatory requirements, and hence the percentages. The compliance, though, it's not just driven for compliance sake. We are also taking much cognizance of what the purpose of those regulatory requirements are, and we implement them for that purpose while complying with the requirements as they are. So on performance management and risk management, we have to comply with particular prescripts. On the workplace skills plan and the development of that, the management of the vacancy rate, there are already protocols that govern that. The performance management development system, we must comply 100% with that. The interventions on HIV and employee health and wellness, we must comply with all the principles of such. We have set percentage, we have set targets on the employment equity, and we want to comply with them. The disability targets, especially, are not in line necessarily with what is the government standard, but as announced by the Minister last year, we want to target a percentage employment of people with disabilities in the department to 6% by 2015-16. We also must, working with, under program one, working with program four, work on the master systems plan, which will kind of coordinate all our IT requirements so that they support the implementation of the departmental strategy, and the business process modeling, which will assist the entire organization to deliver its services better by implementing predictable systems and processes, is one of the targets for the R4. The R4 we need to audit first what business processes we have and model at least 40% of those in the first year, and in the R4 model up to 100%. We need to make sure that we are always accessible, and that the internal communication system on the internet and the intranet is available, and we want to maintain a 97% to 98% uptime between the first year of the strategy to the outer year of the strategy. The implementation of the communication strategy as well, all the requirements in the strategy will for each of those years must be implemented 100%. We want also to have the voice of the department driving the communication agenda of the department more than other people talking about us. We want ourselves to be talking about us. And we want to maintain up to 64% share of own voice in the media by the department. But we must as well make sure that we drive the communication agenda by implementing high-level media interventions that will lead to media coverage for the department and the ministry. We have a three-year rolling audit plan as is required by law, and we must implement that, 100% implementation on each year. The tourism international relations strategy must be developed and implemented, and the development of that revised strategy is a target for this year, and it must be reviewed and implemented 100% on each year going forward to the end of the media term. To support the department's legal needs, to provide corporate legal support to the department, this program is responsible to comply with all case management requirements and to deliver services to the department within agreed service delivery standards. And we want as well, in all that we are doing, and like I have said, to comply with all the regulatory requirements 100%. The percentage procurement from broad-based black economic empowered enterprises as well as BE enterprises, we must make sure that these percentages of our the department's budget is spent on BE enterprises from 59% to 63% by 2015-16. The second program in the department is the tourism development branch, which focuses on creating employment opportunities by implementing tourism projects targeted at the unemployed. It focuses on contributing to skills and people development within the tourism sector, facilitating and supporting economic empowerment through product and enterprise development. It focuses on driving the transformation in the sector, as is informed by the Tourism BE Charter and the National Tourism Sector Strategy, as well as it is responsible for making sure that the key stakeholder engagement events, key stakeholder engagement through strategic events and platforms. Some of the risks that need to be managed in this managed and mitigated in this program relates to fraud, corruption, and conflict of interest, particularly when it comes to the implementation of the social responsibility initiative. It's the conducting of investigations on all suspected cases and instituting disciplinary measures on implicated officials, requesting legal support, legal opinion and intervention on affected cases and projects, and introducing mandatory signing of confidentiality and interest declaration by all officials in the chief directory that is responsible for this program, as well as mitigating against possible project failures by contracting with project stakeholders at all levels of government to during the planning and implementation phase, as well as consulting with legal services in respect of legal ownership, as well as contract signing with owning agencies upfront, stipulating the conditions for funding and asset usage. The risk related to non-availability of product in, development plan will be mitigated by making sure that the plan is developed in the first year of the medium term, and the non-availability of economic intelligence systems to inform planning as a possible risk will be managed by the work that should happen between the branch that manages our research and information, which is program 4. The absence of a charter council, we need to engage strategic private sector partners to fast track the establishment of the council, and the lack of the possible lack of alignment, well, not possible, the lack of alignment between the PPPFA and the BBBEF, we need to develop alternative strategies for adopting the BBBE principle within the current procurement legislation. We are maintaining and continuing with implementation of the social responsibility projects, Honorable Chair, and the targets for the jobs are 5,270, the full-time equivalent jobs to be created in the first year is 5,270. We want also to create full-time equivalent jobs from the MTS baseline through the Tourism Enterprise Partnership of 5,000 jobs in the first year. We want also to implement a project on the training of young graduates and non-graduates to be trained as chefs and to be placed for experiential learning, as well as training of youth and placing them for experiential learning in the hospitality field. This project, Honorable Chair, will note that it's work that's going to be coordinated between this particular branch as well as the Tourism Growth Branch, whose information is coming. Also, still on training and targeting young people for training development, there is a project to be implemented on training of people as tourist bodies and placing those people for experiential learning. Then, on product development, we are going to target a number of products in rural and less developed provinces to be supported, which we must do by first finalizing the rural tourism development strategy and supporting 2 projects per year to the outer years. The number of tourism projects funded through the EPWP funding, which will create the full-time equivalent job as well as promote the tourism initiative, is 45 in the first year of the medium term. The number of interventions implemented to facilitate, guide, and support product development, we must do that. We will only guide that based on a tourism development master plan which will be developed in the first year, and then support 2 projects per year. Support 2 interventions per year to the outer year. Then we must refine the current draft of the cultural heritage tourism strategy and implement 2 heritage products in each year to the final year of the medium term. We must also develop an event strategy and support 1 event per year to the outer years. We must also finalize the niche tourism framework, identify niche products and develop them, 1 in each year to the outer years. The number of small rural tourism enterprises to be supported, we are targeting 530 in the first year and the same amount on each year to the outer years as well. And this is the work that is also done with the tourism enterprise partnership. We are also targeting the support to enterprises to grow 25 each year from the new financial year to 2015-16, and how the growth of those enterprises will be measured by, it must be a minimum of 5% revenue growth or 5% job growth, I mean people employed in that enterprise. We must also support businesses to access markets, and we do this still with the Tourism Enterprise Pro partnership, and we are targeting 170 businesses to be supported in the first financial year. Also, the Tourism Enterprise Program must support members of designated groups, and the target for the first year is 3,351. And we must get into agreements and have action plans signed with strategic partners, which will assist in the in supporting businesses and in supporting promoting product development. And the target for the first year is 12 of those agreements to be signed with strategic partners. The on transformation. We need to develop and implement a system for monitoring compliance with BEE rating by tourism enterprises. We do already have a monitoring criteria in place, and we want to pilot the system in the first year and implement it in the outer years. We want to monitor the number of organs of state that report on what levers they use to drive transformation in the sector, and we want to. Currently, we had 9 organs of state reporting, and we want to increase that figure to 35 by the year 2015. And we want a national mentorship program that will support the development of black SMEs, and we want to increase that figure from the current 20 to 50 per year by 2015. And we also want to have a program that will assist black graduates to participate in the accelerated tourism graduate apprenticeship. And the current in this year, we had 10 graduates participating, and we want to increase that to 70 per year by 2015. And we must produce an annual report on the impact of the public sector partners, on what the public sector partners spend on empowered tourism goods and services. In terms of what the 2005 Kenya season was. We must also execute a number of events informed by the departmental mandate and objectives, which we are going to start that with one event in 2011-12 and increase that to 6 per year by 2015-16. Tourism growth, Honorable Chair, is our third program, and it provides excellent people development within the tourism sector, and it has a specific bias towards young people, and it creates a conducive environment and a contribution to economic growth with decent work. So that it improves service levels in the tourism sector, it intends to professionalize tourist guiding services, and it intends to promote a responsible tourism best practice. Some of the risks that are to be managed in this, possible risks that are to be managed and mitigated in this program, and I'm not maybe going to mention all of them, is where if we were to not have buy-in and compliance by the industry to some of the frameworks that we intend to develop, we would then ensure the formalization of structures for collaboration and interaction between the private and public sector. We want to mitigate the risk of adverse climate change impact on tourism, and we will do that by ensuring industry awareness and outreach programs, capacity building, and a tourism and climate change action plan mentioned as one of the policy initiatives for this year. The 2007 Tourism Skills Audit Report, whose recommendations are being currently implemented, must be revised this year, and the new recommendations of the 2011 Skills Audit Report must then be implemented in each year to the outer years with the review of that 2011 report by 2015-16. We want also to recruit, train, and place unemployed matriculants and tourism graduates in the hospitality industry per year, and we'd like to increase them from 70 to 140 in the outer years. In the current year, our baseline is 180 youth having been placed for experiential learning to international and local experiential learning internationally with other local capacity development initiatives. The project already mentioned on chef training is also, like I said, it's a collaboration between the two programs. Currently, there are 150 youth trained as chefs in a program that is managed in the department. This program will continue to recruit 800 young people per year to the outer years. Then there's also a focus on educator programs that support educators to be facilitated with the 9 provinces, and each year we will be targeting 9 educator programs to be facilitated, and in year 13-14 we will monitor the success of this program. The Tourism Leadership Dialogues, which have been held regularly 4 times a year, we want to maintain that, which is a platform where the public and private sector and leaders in the tourism sector sit and discuss matters of importance and that can take the sector forward. The National Tourism Careers Expo will be held in 2011, and the work will be transferred to CETA, which is our sector education and tourism and training agency. We will also work with higher education institutions and engage them to provide professional training for staff and critical skills for tourism. This is the work that is informed by the annual skills audit report, which will be reviewed in 2011-12. Then on the framework for decent work, that will define what decent work means in the tourism sector. We want to have a draft of that framework in 2011-12 and implement the recommendations of that framework in the outer years and monitor and report on how well we are moving in that regard. With regard to tourism excellence, we want to develop and implement generic service excellence standards and norms, whose standards will be we are developing with the assistance of the South African Bureau of Standards. And the service excellence strategy, we want to have 9 workshops and awareness programs to be conducted on the implementation of the on the implementation plan for the tourist. This is now on professional tourist guide. We need 9 workshops. We run out of time. Okay, I'm out. Yeah. On professionalizing tourist guiding, we need awareness programs in provinces, and we also need to initiate the discussion in the FedEx region to kind of inform the cross border guiding issue. There's a monitoring and reporting provincial on provincial tourist guiding, and then there's the register of tourist guides as well, which helps us monitor how well that product works. On the national minimum standards for responsible tourism, some work is happening there as well with the South African Bureau of Standards, and we want to have the accreditation system approved in the first year and monitor and report on the accreditation of certification agencies. On the universal access, we want to finalize the annual action plan and implement its targets per year. We must also finalize the action plan for tourism on the climate change issue. On the fourth program, which is the policy research monitoring and evaluation. We are focusing on monitoring and evaluation of tourism sector performance strategies and policies. They are focusing on enabling policy environment and creating an enabling policy environment, standardizing knowledge management approach, and facilitating information dissemination. Some of the risks, if I were to mention a few, is the unavailability of data and information, which you mitigate against by collecting data from other data sources, and inadequate platform for electronic research information by upgrading and improving IT infrastructure to support them. We must, under this work on LMEs, on monitoring and evaluation, we must produce an annual state of tourism report. We must produce regular reports on the impact of the tourism sector and other departmental initiatives. We must, similar to the one that was done on the impact of the FIFA World Cup on tourism. We must also manage the monitor and evaluate the impact of the national tourism sector strategy. We must also monitor the impact of our programs against what is outlined in the outcomes-based approach and the outcomes that we are responsible for. We want to have a monitoring and evaluation framework for the departmental entities that to be developed and implemented, and we want to review, we're going to report on a number of tourism-related policies, strategies, frameworks, which are going to be reviewed and developed. On the intergovernmental coordination, this particular program will provide support to integrate tourism development and growth initiatives in district municipalities and provincial plans by drafting a government tourism development and growth program, and by supporting district municipalities and provinces to incorporate our tourism growth and development initiatives in their plans. We want to also engage other departments who are our enablers by writing specific reports and recommending those reports to them on what interventions those departments can provide to support tourism growth. We want to facilitate platforms that will secure additional aviation frequency in key tourism portfolio markets, and we want a number of new information and knowledge systems and services to be developed to encourage information dissemination. We want to finalize and implement the National Visitor Information Framework, as well as the National Tourism Information Gateway, which should be operationalized in the outer years, starting with the finalization, the development of the framework in the first year. We want as well to finalize a knowledge management framework and implement the recommendations of the framework starting from year one to the outer year. On dissemination of information as well, we must establish platforms that will allow for that, starting moving from the baseline of the tourism map that we currently have, and to facilitate and encourage the distribution of tourism to areas less visited. We want to have a national events calendar in which we must cater a certain percentage of events from particular municipalities, rising from 50% of municipalities in the first year to 90% in the outer year. We must also conduct research studies to inform new product development, and we are going to do that by conducting research, two research studies in the first year, three, four, and four in the outer years. The other research to inform decision making as well, research to inform development of new markets, and research to establish indicators for the national tourism sector strategy where we did not have baseline in the finalization of that strategy. And we also want to standardize a research framework for the tourism sector. We want to have that framework approved in the first year, and we want it implemented in the outer year and reviewed again in 2015. I will let you speak.
Are you finished? Thank you very much for a very, very informative input, and we shall it will enable us to do our oversight even much better. But remember, we are not going to follow details. We are going to look at jobs. We'll be looking at percentages growth. We'll just list under 10 in oversight. So you may list hundreds or thousands, but we know the parameters. We know our indicators, and we shall be looking at the indicators. So let us just find out whether the tea outside is ready. If it is, then break.
Sorry, Chair. We've divided the presentation into two. The other part is just brief on the finance part. Yeah. I thought
okay.
He was going to do that presentation before we break.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
I don't think it is going to be much. The rest in detail, but the parameters are important. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, members. On the finances, I will be very brief, focusing on the next financial year. You will see that we received $1.2 billion from National Treasury. Our administration program received $173 million, which is 14%. In tourism and development, $348 million, which is 28% of the budget. Tourism growth, 694, that is 56%. And then policy research, monitoring and evaluation, which is nearly 27 million, which is 2% of our budget. If you look at the next slide, there you can see the breakdown of our budget, compensation of employees, 141 million, which is 11%. Goods and services, 126 million. Which is 10%, transfers and subsidies, $968 million, 78%, which is paid out by the department, and then capital assets, which is 1%. So you can see that actually just 22% of the budget remains within the department, and then if you look at the ratio between your compensation of employees and your goods and services, at this stage it's nearly a 1-to-1. And the ideal will be a 1 for compensation and a 1.7 for goods and services, because that's actually the money that we work with. I'm just going to deal with the next slide. And there you can see that over the MTF period, our budget has increased with 7.9% in the next financial year, then 2.5%. And then in the outer year, 5.6%. Chair, I'm not going to deal with the individual programs. I think that is just a detail. But this is an overview of the total department over its 4 programs. Okay. Well, but you did not mention whether perhaps there are projects that you would preferably have funded should you have had a little more or something like that. What did you have to trim out in order to be within the budget? I'm saying so because sometimes there is a feeling that given the expectations on tourism, they should have been perhaps some accommodation one way or the other. If not within the department, perhaps look elsewhere in the other department.
Yes, definitely we did trim out, and what you saw in our strategic plan is already aligned to our budget. If we had more funding, obviously we can do more. But the other problem that we also had is on the compensation of employees, which we had to face in the filling of our post over a 3-year period because of a lack of funding. It's only in the 3rd year that our establishment will be fully funded.
Okay.
you're absolutely correct. There are programs that are not included here. For instance, Chair, it has been the explicit wish of this committee and the executive that we need to establish the Convention Bureau. We have established the Convention Bureau. It will be located within SAT. We had hoped to get funds during the MTF period last year. We were not given money for that. But there's been a political commitment by the minister, and the industry expects the Convention Bureau. So we've trimmed some of our activities to ensure that that Convention Bureau is established in SAT. But there was no money for it. So that's one thing that really is going to affect the manner in which we market ourselves abroad. We would have done much better, actually, if we were given more resources, because most of this money is then channeled to SAT. I think they will speak about this when they come in. Their new market, the minister has spoken about the market in Brazil. If you look at the Brazilian market, they spend about $4.5 billion in the outbound market of Brazil, $4.5 billion. We are nowhere capturing any of that amount of money. So there's a need to look at this new emerging market. There's a need to look at how do we beef up our interest, our presence, or our interaction with the BRIC countries. So there's a need to upgrade that. If you look at our mission in China, SAT mission is still much smaller. If we were having better resources, we would target that market, we'll flood that market with a host of activities, and I hope SAT would speak to that when they come in. So these are some of the programs that would have done much better had we been given more resources, but we have the same understanding, Chair, that we are given same instructions across government to start trimming up some of the activities and prioritizing some of them. We would be coming towards the end of the next financial year to the committee, because as a department we are looking at our institutional capacity to deal with the challenges that are there in the tourism industry. And given the fact that the tourism industry so far worldwide is a $1.5 trillion business, so where do we want to play in that league? What is that we want to target? What are the strategies that we want to bring? Do we have appropriate institutional capacity as a department to deal with that and access that? And can we tell where is this money flowing, this $1.5 trillion? Who is getting a big chunk of it? And why are we not getting that? What is that they are doing that we are not doing in order to get that? So those are things that we are interrogating as we look into our organizational capacity to deal with that. So we will be coming back to this committee indeed to get your support that we get money to look at a better organizational institution, including how do we interact with our domestic market. If you look at our organizational focus, there's no focus. There's no capacity to look at domestic market, to coordinate activities that are there with provinces. They are not predictable. So these are some of the activities that are literally being compromised, Chairperson, as we move forward because of this requirement to trim down on resources. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, in fact, we agree with the broad thrust on trimming down. But at the same time, we've got to make sure that we increase events and conferences by increasing our ability to stage and win events. Now, that is part of the strategy that is written here. But now, in terms of runs and sends, that ability should be capacities, resources, promotion, marketing, and so forth. And normally that costs money. What do we do? We are having new alliances. We have Commonwealth Games. Now we are having an alliance, a BRIC alliance. Are we not going to promote such things like games and so forth in order to strengthen these alliances? And if so, which events do we promote and those other things? But now, they need to be motivated, but at the same time, we've got to train. So, and this dialogue, ongoing dialogue, has got to go on without anybody being excessive in their wants, but at the same time, being realistic about the growth we want. That, I think that is the message, the balancing act. And without compromising what exactly is the skeleton of our budget. Then let us break and then have tea and then come back after 10 minutes. There. Okay, sir.
I don't know. Where must I go? Give me a... I'm sorry.
Go run to my phone, call this number, and ask to speak to Rav Shach.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The thing is, I'm going to charging the departments now for subscribing.
There's a list, but which of the departments are charged?
Oh.
And I didn't see us included in that list.
Yeah, what he has, you also
can't you email it to me?
We're not allowed to, because it's like the intellectual property.
Of
PMG,
okay.
So a lot of people requested of
me. But I give all of them our intellectual property, PMG.
I don't know, I'm going to laugh.
Electronic copy.
Okay, I will hold it to you. I'm going to wait for Thank you.
good day. Before, perhaps without putting much pressure on SAA Tourism, let us just sum up what we had in the last distinct contribution. We had that each and every month we're having growth. And despite the shrinkages we have seen in many sectors, and then despite the uneven trends in other sectors, we had that the middle class is growing in emerging markets like Brazil, like India, like China, and the buying power is increasing, and what do we make of that buying power as a nation? There could be, and as tourism. And we heard that the SAA is flying now to a number of African countries. And so that could bode well for our country in terms of traveling to South Africa and traveling faster. The issue of tax, that is a departure tax in Britain, was about £75. It's about £75 in an air ticket. And then in other countries, it's about 50% of the ticket price. And that is discriminatory, and tax should not be discriminatory. And if you look at the equity aspect of tax, it is inequitable. And then if you look at transparency of tax, it is not transparent. And as they say in public economics, because of some of these, it is a bad tax. And we are having a struggle, especially those that go to the CPA, Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, and International Parliamentary Association. We've got to raise these as issues where we need to research, let us research and come up with the information. The impact of the Japanese calamity, has affected people that buy from our markets. How do we then replace those that market for the time being? Because for quite some time they shall be addressing their own problems, their own building, their own bridges, and tightening their belts and replacing their furniture and everything. So their consumption is going to be directed towards more basic needs rather than the things like tourism. And then what I liked was this relationship with provinces. It is going to assist in the problem that was pointed out by the Auditor General, that of alignment, lack of alignment with provinces and municipalities. I think if we strengthen in this area, it would be better for all. The issue of own voice, where we protect our image, and our images should be as much according to the publics out there from our voice rather than from what we are perceived to be or from our competitors. Then youth was part of the jobs. It was mentioned, and a number of developmental MDGs, climate was mentioned, and jobs. Perhaps if we look at that, at the presentation, we'll see what's missing. I'm just trying to give it some pointers, and as soon as you are ready, CEO. It's over to you.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the Committee, again for your
continued support. I really would like to reiterate what the DG said in that regard. In his absence, I also would like to thank the Minister for his leadership within the department and us at SAT. And to the Director General and the department members, I do want to say thank you for the work that we have done together, and to reassure you of South African Tourism's commitment to the partnership and for the willingness to strive for perfection. And that always is a goal. I want to thank you, DG, also for your kind words this morning, and believe in me, coming from you, I take it very seriously. So thank you. Anyway, I'm accompanied by Johan, who's our Chief Financial Officer, and an ExCo member, and he will join me in the presentation speaking to the areas, particularly as pertaining to the budget. Our COO and our General Manager of Research, they are in Cape Town, Chairperson, but they are addressing the Select Committee meeting at the moment, and the times were exactly parallel, so we couldn't all be, and we split. But I just want to start really by reminding us of the vision for South African tourism, because we remain committed to our vision, our mission, our values, and that is for South Africa to be the preferred tourist destination in the world in order to maximize the economic potential of tourism for our country and its people. I also want to remind us of our mission, which is to develop and implement a world-class international tourism marketing strategy for South Africa. In pursuance of this, SAT will facilitate the strategic alignment of the provinces and industry in support of the global marketing of tourism to South Africa. Our relationship, Chairperson, with the provinces and with industry remains an important one for our work, because the support that comes with that can only but add value to our work. To remove all obstacles to tourism growth, to build a tourist-friendly nation, and ensure that tourism benefits all South Africans. I want to conclude by reminding us about our values also, which really speak to unconditionally respecting our organization's people, its purpose, and its assets. Living this respect with integrity translates into an authentic caring for South Africa and each other, a feeling of responsibility, and the acceptance of accountability for the outcomes of our actions. And we are very serious about being held accountable. So, and for the team ultimately to push the boundaries of excellence in anything that it is that we do. But I do want to add that and really express my support for, my appreciation for the support that I've received from my executive committee members and Manco, and indeed all staff at South African Tourism, who really are hardworking, young, many, skilled, and always willing to walk the extra mile. I'm very proud of the work that SAT did in contributing to the success of the World Cup, work which started even prior to my joining the department and joining SAT, And the 15.15% growth that was shown at the end of 2010 is very encouraging and augurs well for the future. Our presentation today, Chairperson, will attempt, and I'm sure most of you have seen a lot of what we're going to share, but overall we are going to look at our tourism portfolio review in the first few slides. We're going to look at the outcomes of South Africa's tourism's fourth portfolio review conducted in July-August of 2009. By our strategic research unit, in consultation, of course, with ExCo Manco and Thompson Levy Collectors. We're going to look at government's priorities in South African tourism's high-level mandate, business objectives and strategies. We're going to look at South African tourism's four strategic outcome-oriented goals, our accolades, the progress on the execution of SA Tourism's big strategic goals. And then Johan will speak
to our
budget summary, changes to South African tourism's resource allocation and the implications. tourism areas of cooperation with other stakeholders. And, of course, we will touch briefly on the TGSA and KPS. The DG mentioned the Convention Bureau, which is a very new addition to the work of SA Tourism, but I believe that it will grow from strength to strength, and that we certainly, with the right resources, both in human and financial terms, will be able to use it very effectively to attract people to the country. Now, first slide there really shows the review which adopts a fresh eyes approach by considering all the countries in the world and filtering them based on a set of objective attractiveness and criteria. Because the question we constantly get asked is, why are you in place A and not in place B? So because SA Tourism really attempts to use research-based work, we need to find a way of filtering. And what that slide shows is really the process of filtering and the approach to our portfolio review for us to reach the point where we decide on core tactical investment and watch list markets and the cost-benefit evaluation of understanding why we are where we are. Again, in that next slide, you see the key steps of the portfolio review. I will spare you the details, but you'll see we've got the first filter, the second filter, the third filter. And the methodology really is to look at the size of the market, look at outbound, look at long haul, and in the process come to some conclusion as to which countries right now serve the purpose of us getting what it is that we want and the return on our investments. But we have to use quite a clinical and technical approach to do this. The next slide, the results of the evaluation will illustrate the suggested core, the tactical, the investment, and watch list markets within each region. We do realize that the world is a dynamic one. It changes. It is not constant all the time. And over the years, even at the point at which we worked on our last business plan and the last track plan that was done, changes have taken place. The realization that the BRICS countries have set before by the DG has become very central to our work. The amount of work that we did in Brazil 2 years ago is not the same as what we want to do now. Same with China. India is an important market. The African continent certainly needs a great deal of attention from us in terms of the work, because really that is where we get fed from and the inbound markets from the continent. And already we are playing a lot more in the Angolan and Nigerian and DRC spaces than we were before. So those tactical markets really are the markets where there are particular opportunities, the low-hanging fruit, as we say, 15% of the organization's effort deployed against these markets. The core markets, again, they deliver the bread and butter, as we say, attractive and easier, 60% of the organization's effort deployed against these markets, best capabilities allocated to these markets. Then we have the investment markets. The investment in these markets ahead of a return, looking into the future, 20% of the organization's effort deployed against these markets. And the watch list markets, the markets that are on the radar screen. Activities in these markets will only occur if there is spare capacity in the organization, and 5% of the organization's effort deployed against these markets. But already, since the writing of this document, we have appointed a watch list global manager who really pays specific attention to that basket, because within there also lies the work with the diplomats and the embassies across the world. We always believe that, I believe strongly, and I've said this to the organization right through that, we have got 10 countries in which we operate as SA Tourism. We have got over 130 embassies across the world doing the work of promoting South Africa in one way or the other, business, tourism, diplomacy, political, and so forth. There has to be a functional and strong relationship that exists between the two in order for us to get the most return on what they can bring to the table. And many of those countries may not be core or tactical for that matter, but certainly are very interested see the work of tourism, and we give them necessary support as and when. The next slide speaks to the fourth portfolio review process that took place during July and August 2009, and the outcomes will be implemented going forward to 2011. But as you can see there, we have very specific countries identified in our core markets, Africa and the Middle East there, Angola, Botswana, Kenya, Nigeria, the UK and Americas, and the United States, Asia and Australasia, you have Australia and India there, Europe, we have France, Germany, Netherlands, UK, all of which countries, of course, we are operational in. The investment markets there, we have the DRC, Mozambique, we have Brazil, Canada, China, Japan, Belgium, Italy, Sweden. We have our tactical markets there in the Lesotho, Swaziland, New Zealand, Ireland. Again, watch list markets, our examples there, Malawi, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Argentina, Korea, Republic of, Austria, Denmark, Portugal, Spain, Switzerland. We don't have presences there, but certainly are doing a lot of work and constantly receiving requests from those countries for support and for wanting to strengthen their relationship with SA Tourism. Then, of course, countries of strategic importance, strategic air links, mentioned there, Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia. In fact, we had our first activity this year in Dubai, and again, we've been invited to Qatar and Saudi to do some work in those areas. The Middle East, we have to keep an eye on, I believe, because there's a lot of spending capacity out of those regions. It is about how we market, what is it that they would be looking for in South Africa. Right now, a lot of the political realities is that there is a move towards Africa from out of those regions in maybe a reluctance to spend more in Europe. And wearing my SA Tourism hat, I think we must always take advantage of those situations. Our next slide here, Chairperson, speaks to linking government priorities to South African tourism priorities. We have said here that government has set five key priorities for the next 5 years, including the creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods, education, health, rural development, including food security and land reform, and the fight against crime and corruption. These five priorities have been converted into government's medium-term strategic framework, which highlights 10 priorities and 12 outcomes over the MTF period. Tourism falls under the economic sectors and employment cluster, one of the five government clusters, and its actions appear under outcome 4, decent employment through inclusive economic growth. And we are faced, like everybody else, with the challenge of job creation. And jobs for us in our sector are created by those people who come to South Africa and spend. And it is that spend that facilitates the creation. So we have to look really at where our marketing efforts are and how we are doing in those areas and continuously interrogate our success rates to ensure that we do fill those planes and those beds. In our next slide, Chairperson, we have our mandate, key business objectives and strategies. Are you okay? You don't have that one? Oh, really? Sorry. Are you isn't it there? Is that the one you have? Okay. All right. Because I'm using... That's the one that the Chairperson has there. Okay,
page numbering, which is a problem. It doesn't come as early as it does in the presentation. But it's page 36 or thereabout. Now, then... page 37. That slide is there on page 37 of this presentation.
Okay. Shall I continue, Chair?
Yes. Yes, it's the arrangement of this thing, of these slides. Okay, continue.
Okay, in this particular one, the one before, we have our mandate, key business objectives. The mandate really remains sustainable GDP growth, sustainable job creation, redistribution and transformation. Four key targets: achieve targeted total arrivals to South Africa, achieve total average tourist spend, to be the most preferred tourist brand, and South African tourism to be the best tourism organization. Those remain our objectives, and we do this by focusing on doing only the following big six things very well. Share our vision with stakeholders. Use the trade to grow our business. Grow and nurture our staff. Improve brand traction in markets. Fine-tune internal systems and communication, and increase value extraction in SA from all tourists. The possible tourism, the South African tourism mandate, key business objectives and strategies, which are effective from April this year. We would like to create a thriving tourism sector by making South Africa a destination of choice. We want to make the South African brand a global player in portfolio markets, which will grow tourism stranded revenue to the economy by 1.5% per annum. We want to invest only in selected markets to deliver volume and value, convince consumers that South Africa can be trusted to deliver memorable experiences, engage stakeholders to deliver quality visitor experience that reaffirms the brand promise, work the distribution channel to promote South Africa, and energize and empower the organization to innovate and achieve excellence. And let me just say on that issue about contribution. Because we work in three-year cycles, you will, Chairman, see that at any particular point in time, certain decisions were made 2, 3 years ago, 1 year ago, in terms of how we were going to achieve and what those targets are. We've had continuous conversation again with the department in terms of targets, in terms of stretch targets, and we, again, are committed to ensuring that even if our documentation would speak to 1.5, but when we do revisit our strategy and our business planning, we will continue to extend and stretch those targets to the best capacity that we have. The five strategies have been converted to five programs to comply with Treasury Annual Resource Plan templates. Program 1, International Portfolio Marketing. The purpose here is to increase international visitor arrivals and spend by marketing South Africa internationally. We still have to continue to work within our traditional markets because of the spending capacity that they have coming into the country. The second program, the Head Office Marketing. The purpose, provision of support and toolkits for international regions to promote global visibility of the South African brand, to establish a conventions bureau, which I made mention of earlier on, and aggressively promote a culture of domestic tourism. That second program is very important for our work because it embraces both the conventions bureau and the increased work within our domestic space. There is a strong recognition that we need to do more work within domestic tourism and how important domestic tourism is, in fact, for the goals that we want to achieve. Head Office Financial Support, the third program. The purpose is the provision of real-time accurate financial information and business processes to ensure quality execution of approved business plans and budgets while complying with policies and procedures which will maximize our chances to maintain clean audit reports, which remains an important goal for us. The fourth program, Head Office Administrative Support, the purpose, provision of human resources, systems, and structures to support execution of all approved business plans and budgets. And finally, grading of tourism products. The purpose to promote word of mouth international and domestic marketing following quality delivery of experiences to visiting international and domestic tourists through the grading of tourism establishments using global best practice grading systems and business processes. And Chairperson, that is an issue that has come up time and again, but for us the process of encouraging at government level certainly, and as far as possible the support that we have within the sector, the industry, for people to use graded establishments, that is the best way in which this agenda item will be supported. Now, the strategic outcome-oriented goal number one, to market South Africa in such a way that annual arrivals to South Africa increase. Through the execution of SA Tourism Strategic Plan and Annual Performance Plan, the following arrivals should be achieved, and I probably don't have to go into a lot of detail on these ones, but what we've done here is to just give you a breakdown of the figures that we are at minimum looking at. We have the 2011 calendar year arrival target of 10 million, which is 1% increase over 2010 arrival target. Then the 2012 calendar year arrival target, again, another percent increase over 2011. And then we have the 2013 calendar year arrival projection. And like I said earlier on, the aim is to continuously try to stretch those numbers. And already in 2010, we saw that we had gone beyond what we had initially placed in our business plan. But as the 2010 calendar year arrivals of 11,395,700 show, an increase of 14.7% over the 9.933 arrivals recorded in 2009. They were only published during the first week of March 2011. South African Tourism could not, in line with government's performance information framework, change its 2011 calendar year target of 10,295,000, which will be achieved through the execution of the 2010-11 annual performance plan, as Parliament already approved SA Tourism's 2010-11 strategic plan, which had this target prior to 31st March. The reason we've included those notes there, Chairperson, is to give some explanation as to why at one point thought we would reach X amount, but in fact, in reality, had reached Y amount, and the numbers, the 14.7%, was much more than we had predicted at the time of going to press and approvals from board and parliament. So for the same reason, SA Tourism could also not change its 2010 calendar year arrival target of 10.398, as indicated above, and which it will achieve through the execution of SA Tourism's 2011-12 annual performance plan, which we are still to do. Following discussions with the Auditor General and the Department of Tourism, South African Tourism received permission to increase its arrival targets effective 2012 calendar year when it submits its updated 5-year strategic plan and 2012-13 annual performance plan for approval by the board during our September board meeting and prior to Parliament in March of 2012. The strategic outcome goal-oriented number one, the strategic outcome goal number one, to market South Africa in such a way that annual arrivals to South Africa increase. Here again, we are showing you some figures as for comparative purposes of what we achieved in 2008 as compared to 2009, growth from 6.2% increase over 2007, 5.5 increase over 2007 again, 3.6 increase over 2008, 3.6 increase over 2008, the actual. And 2010 calendar year arrival target, 2.6 increase over 2009. And we already have got the 2010 actual arrival figure of 11,395,000, which is an increase of 14.7 over the 2009 figure. Here we speak about the Convention Bureau included in strategic outcome goal number one is the establishment of the Convention Bureau. Although there is no current baseline for the Convention Bureau, specific KPIs for this new focal point for which the COO and Executive Manager Convention Bureau, who will also be an EXCO member, will be responsible, include the establishment of the focal unit as soon as possible by 1st of April, the appointment of an executive manager, and the compilation of a detailed three-year business plan and budget for the Conventions Bureau. So the appointment of the executive manager chairperson is important for us because that person will actually lead this process with the full support of EXCO and, of course, led by the COO. The next slide here, we have our strategic outcome-oriented goal number two, to market South Africa in such a way that expenditure of all people arriving in South Africa increases while being in South Africa. And really, through the execution of its track plan and annual performance plan, the following spend per person should be achieved on average for every person arriving in South Africa. This slide, just in summary, is important for us because, like I said earlier on, Chairperson, the spend has a direct impact on job creation and investment in South Africa. We have the 2011 calendar year target of 9.222 per person, and this will result in a total expenditure of 1.26 billion in South Africa. 2012 again, we're looking at a spend of 135.7 billion, and 2013, 1.146 billion. So we are hoping that our marketing efforts will be able to realize this type of spend figures. We have a comparative analysis here of the 2008, 2009, and 2010 spend per person, and you can see the growth there from 7,300 per person to 8,100 per person to 8,400 and 8,700 per person. The average spend increased by 3.7, driven by increased spend by land tourists, but still behind our growth targets for 2009. And that slide really, again, total foreign direct spend, excluding capital expenditure, of course. As you can see, the 2008 figures, the 2009, and the percentage difference there. All foreign tourists, 8, 1, 2009, 8, 4, and 3.7 came from land more than air markets. We have the land markets there of 14.5% and air markets of a minus 5.7. So we actually did see a drop in the air markets. The next slide here, we touch on the growth, the importance of growing domestic tourism annually to achieve 16 million travelers by 2015 using the baseline of 14.6 million in 2009. We have to tighten a lot of our research work in terms of tracking the domestic tourism figures. We've been using broad figures over the past so many years of the existence of SA tourism. We need to do a lot more work around focus groups. We have to partner up a lot stronger with provinces. The role of provinces in the promotion of domestic tourism is extremely important for our work, and that is a partnership that is vital to this outcome. Our partnership and work with the National Department of Tourism, the DG mentioned domestic tourism, it remains central, I think, to all of us in the sector to improve and work in that area. The business industry and the private sector, they are very important because they will provide us with occupancy figure numbers. We need to work closely with them because they are the ones, a lot of times in anecdotal fashion, we get to hear about how hotels are actually full of business tourists who are traveling within the country. And those figures need to come to the table, because then we have a clearer sense of those occupancy figures. The national parks are, again, an important stakeholder for us in determining those figures. Meetings Africa, this year corporates up by 26%. We had a very successful Meetings Africa this year, and it's growing from strength to strength. We believe it's an important product for us at SA Tourism, because it attracts the business tourists, the meetings and incentive buyers who come and who are able to look at our product in general for huge and large conferences. And this is the type of work which will be taken to greater heights by the Convention Bureau. I'm not going to go through all the figures there and domestic tourism indicators, but suffice it to say that what we see here, we have got figures that speak to the annual monthly travelers, our 2007, 2008, and 2009 figures comparative, the annual from 43% to 46% to 47%, the monthly 9.99, and we see a drop there of 2.8%. The number of travelers, again, we notice growth there. Annually, 35.9 million, 32 and 30. There's a decrease there again in 2009. We notice the purpose, and we see visiting friends and relatives, business and medical. You again can make a comparative analysis of 2007, 68, 2008, 71, 2009, 76, and more people are actually staying with friends and relatives when they travel and go on holiday. So total annual spend, 2007, 2008, and 2009 again, a growth in 2008 and a decrease in 2009. But that overall section on spend, purpose, average spend per trip, per day, 2007, 2008, 2009, there's a growth in 2008 and a slight dip in 2009, but we remain convinced that we need to deliver the people who will come and spend on these trips. And so we need to continuously interrogate our marketing strategy to say, is our offering what people want, what will bring them? And also to have conversations at provisional levels, because ideally speaking, it would be lovely for KZN to market itself in Gauteng and Limpopo in the provinces, so that the marketing by provincial tourism authorities is not only to Europe and overseas markets, but indeed also to each other. And that is where our partnership is so important. I think that third one, to market South Africa in such a way that South Africa becomes the most preferred tourism brand, is obvious to all of us. Through the execution of its strategic plan and annual performance plan, South Africa should become one of the most preferred tourism brands by 2014. The knowledge of our brand journey, conversion of positive brand awareness to sales. We have an illustration in the next one, which speaks to brand knowledge, brand journey, and conversion. The closure ratio of at least 1 in 2.9 in all markets. The brand journey, aware of South Africa, positive about South Africa, sought info on South Africa, plan to visit in the short term. The brand knowledge, average for welcoming people, main lead on adventure and nature and wildlife. And what the next few slides do is to give you a breakdown of that. You see, we still have a leadership in nature and wildlife. We have had a decline in welcoming people, although I must say the World Cup did a lot to assist in that regard. And adventure also remains quite competitive there, with a slight, in fact, an increase from 2007 to 2009. Value for money and safety and security are conversations that we continue to have. We still do believe that we are a value for money destination. We do have challenges in the arena of safety and security. Clearly, you'll see that the next few slides speaks to that. 207, 208, and 209, you see our drop there to 3.41%. In the next slide, which is the knowledge of the brand, our ranking versus our direct competitors. In 2009, South Africa's perception improved on key personality attributes in the Netherlands and Germany compared to its direct competitors. However, it declined substantially in Italy. And that slide just gives you really a breakdown, the ranking out of 5 of the South Africa brand relative to direct competitors along key brand attributes. Memorable, adventurous, natural, wildlife experience. You see the Netherlands has given us stars there, even in terms of a wide variety of experiences, breathtaking, enriching, and unique. Then Australia also still believes that we've done well in the area of a wide variety of experiences. You'll see that we rank quite lowly on safety and security, Netherlands, Germany, UK, Australia, China and Japan, they have concerns there, and the crosses along welcoming people. So those are perceptions that we need to work on. South Africa versus all destinations. Perception of South Africa in terms of offering wide variety of experiences improved in 5 markets, out of which 3 are core and 2 are investment. This ranking is out of 10. And it's a similar type matrix that we have there, where you can see where the stars are, Netherlands, breathtaking safety and security issues, welcoming people. The Kenyans seem to think that we need to do something about being welcoming. But that also gives us a sense of the perceptions that are out there about us and what it is that we need to do in those markets to attract. And a conversation that we have had constantly is around our new emerging markets, the Brazils, the India, the China. What do we need to do to bring more Chinese to South Africa? What is it that they're looking for? This is the question that we have to constantly ask so that we interrogate our strategies, our marketing strategies. The journey, we have improved in both awareness and passivity, but declines on thought, info and likely to visit in the next 18 months due to the slowdown in global travel. You can see the figures there, awareness, passivity, sought info in the past, likely to visit in the next few months. 2007, 2008, 2009, there has been a decline there. Global targets, 2010, awareness 77%, passivity 40%, 26% sought info, and 14% likely to visit. We have the targets there of 79, 42, 28, and 16% for 2013. I will skip the next one. Is also a brand journey matrix. Similar type thing, but South Africa's rating on stature has improved marginally in 2009. The ratings and other metrics continue to be below average in most of the markets except for the Netherlands, Germany, and in Kenya. And it's the same principle again. The rating years out of 10, the South African brand relative to our competitors, our brand journey, uniqueness, stature, and this really does assist us a lot to deal with issues of perception. And our strategy. The core markets, brand journey trends. South Africa has seen a positive growth, cumulative growth rate for most of the brand journey metrics between 2006 and 2009. However, visitation and closure ratio have declined slightly in 2009 compared to 2008. And that is the closure rate there in 2006, 1 in 3.35. In 2007, 1 in 2.90, 2008, 1 in 2.75, 2.09, and then we have 2.06 to 2.09, the average 6%. Our investment market, South Africa's performance has improved on most of the brand journey metrics in 2009 compared to 2008. A slight drop in visitation has led to a drop in closure rate, as you can see from those figures, moving from 206, 207, 208, and 209, but ending up with a minus 2%. Of course, there are objective conditions also in the world that have affected travel patterns, and we cannot help but be cognitive of that. South Africa's rating on stature has improved marginally in 2009. The ratings on other metrics continue to be below average in most of the markets, except for the Netherlands and Germany. The conversion global target in 2009, Australia joined the list of four countries, Germany, United Kingdom, India, and China, that have achieved the global closure rate target of 1 in 2.9. I'm going to save you the figures, but strategic outcome number four, to continuously improve South African tourism's internal policies and procedures so that it becomes one of South Africa's best organizations to work for. That remains the goal, because we do fundamentally believe that our people are our best asset, and we cannot afford to forget that in our work. The next one is really a show and tell, some of the accolades that we've received over the years, and what will be our big six strategies to achieve the high-level objectives. Strong leadership is required from all ExCo, Mankin, and country managers for the execution of these six strategies. Achieve total arrivals to South Africa. We need to use the trade to grow our business. We had very useful meetings with trade, for example, when we were in the ITB now in Germany. And like the minister said, there is a lot of enthusiasm coming back amongst the trade. To achieve average spend per tourist, increase value extraction in South Africa from all tourists, very vital. South Africa to be a most preferred tourism brand by 2014. Improve brand traction in markets to increase positive awareness. South African tourism to be the best tourism organization. Share our company's vision with key stakeholders and influencers. Grow and nurture our staff, develop or fine-tune and integrate yardsticks and systems to obtain operational excellence. The next one, the sharing of our company's vision with key stakeholders and influencers. I will skip, but that is the overall what this is about. We have a breakdown of that. And to share our company's vision with stakeholders again, the next one. So all that information is really a breakdown of who our key stakeholders are and what it is that we need to do to strengthen those relationships. The next one speaks to using the trade to grow our business. Again, there's a breakdown there of our relationship with trade and why they remain central to our work. Growing and nurturing our staff in order to realize our operational goals are the next couple of slides. And when you have time, it's good to read them and give us feedback, but these are important values for us. Develop or fine-tune internal systems and communication for better results. Increase value extraction in South Africa of all tourists. And Chairperson, I will stop my presentation there and hand over to Johan so that he can quickly take you through our key performance areas and for performance information management purposes, and our financial, our finances. Thank you.
Chairperson, members, I'll be very brief. At the back of our budget, in terms of budgeting parameters, we use IMF figures and Reserve Bank expectations to calculate the CPIX, which we use in our business plan and budget. The figures for 11-12 varies from 5.8% for South Africa, and then in the European markets it's obviously lower, around 2%, in Australia 2.8%, in Japan 1.5%, and in the United States 2.1%. We're also working with foreign currency, so we have to calculate budgeted exchange rates. In the case of 11-12, we're working on 8.36 to the US dollar, 10.72 to the euro, 12.53 to the pound, 6.8 to the Aussie dollar, 11.06 yen to the rand, and 1.23 to the Chinese RMB. If we look at our revenue, the department gave the breakdown of the entire budget. Of that, 668 million rand will be coming to South African tourism. We also generate revenue from the voluntary TOMSA levies, 76 million. Grading fees, 25.9 million. Indaba and Meetings Africa revenue, 26.5 million. Interest received, budget of 7.5, and then sundry revenue, 35.6, which gives us the total revenue of 840.193 million for the 2011-12 financial year. I think the important point to make here is just the fact that in South Africa we have constantly spent 0.1% of our total GDP on the tourism growth. That has been government's allocation. And we are aware from the, our research that our two important competitors, Australia and Brazil, have been spending between 0.6% and 0.7% of their total budget on tourism promotion. So we are lagging in terms of expenditure, and I think obviously our target should be to increase over time the expenditure of government on tourism, because we know that governments realize that the norm has become jobless growth, global growth, generally, especially if we talk about goods. So the opportunity is to invest more in services, and I think we have the unique opportunity to do that. So if we talk about that, if we talk about a ratio of about 0.6% of GDP, when we're talking about in excess of 4 billion, we've heard from the DG how much Brazil is spending on tourism, and we're also aware of the Australians, how much they are investing in tourism. If we just look at the high-level breakdown of our marketing expenses, we've had to accommodate a 53.4 million rand budget cut in the 2011-12 financial year. So the high-level takeout from this slide is really that we've tried to maintain our position in most of our markets, while spending slightly more in important markets like, for example, Angola. We have been fortunate in, over the last year and a half with a very strong rand. Now, we know that affected tourism's pockets in South Africa became more expensive for them to visit. But certainly from a budgeting point of view, South African tourism has been fortunate in that we could have acquired more foreign currency. And we have invested that wisely, which left us with a bit of opportunity to scale down a little bit in markets like India, for example, in order to fund that budget cut of 53.4 million in 2011-12. If we look at our business units in particular, the important thing to mention there is that we continue to invest aggressively in a global marketing campaign. Most of you would have been aware of this campaign that runs on National Geographic, CNN, BBC, and that is a very important component of our campaign to grow on the 2010 FIFA World Cup and to remain top of mind for the potential tourists out there. We also continue to invest in research. South African tourism's backbone is really research. We cannot afford to underspend on research, and a lot of our research is becoming a bit old at the moment. So we are trying our best with limited funding to keep up, especially around measuring our brand performance and to continue with our segmentation research in important key markets like the USA, Germany, and the UK. If we look at the effect to our non-financial resources in terms of people, we will be growing our staff complement to 184. That includes the 3 additional staff members for the Luanda office and the 2 staff members for the Conventions Bureau, which will really be the executive manager and a marketing assistant in the first year. Obviously, once we finalize that business plan and budget for the Conventions Bureau, that staff complement will have to grow so that we can properly resource it. In terms of our time allocations and skill sets, I think those will remain as it currently is. The CEO has spoken to how we spend our resources internally on the 4 types of markets, the core markets, the investment markets, the tactical markets, and the watchlist markets. In terms of systems, we don't foresee any changes. We will continue to invest in our Oracle financial systems, our project management systems, and our QIT trading back office system. And then in terms of infrastructure, we currently have the 10 offices with the Angola office that will be open soon in the 11-12 financial year. But I think the important thing is that we continue to look at our return on investment in the different markets to avoid a scenario where we over-invest in some markets and under-invest in others. It's very important that we find this balance, because I think that is the high-level takeout from government's strategy, is that we need to invest where the returns are. In terms of our business units, the only 2 changes really have been the bottom 2, is we have now created a separate business unit for watchlist markets. That was done in early January, and then the Conventions Bureau will now kick in on 1 April 2011. Then I can maybe just quickly, in conclusion, just mention the specific performance indicators of the Grading Council, which is one of our 17 business units. In terms of the total graded properties over the medium term, they are expected to go up to over 10,000. The total renewals up to 8,478 in 2013-14. New gradings, they're planning 1,978. Cancellations, planning for 4. And breaches by assessors, 5 per annum. The very important thing about the Grading Council is that they rely very heavily on the system that we've developed for the Grading Council. As we've previously communicated, this system was basically bought from Visit England. So we know it's one of the best systems in the world, and I think the Grading Council will capitalize on that investment in that it will certainly improve the quality of the experience for the visiting tourists. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. And let us look at and I think some of the questions will have to be reserved for the next interaction, but perhaps we can go on asking some questions around some of the areas. But given the importance of research, I do not know whether we are working with the research institutions like universities and the University of Technologies or whatever. And but let us allow for questions and discussions. Yeah, one moment.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are so many questions to ask, but looking at the time, I think, Chairperson, it is impossible. I'm happy to hear that you are talking about another possible interaction. I think definitely we need it. Actually, this perhaps should have been a whole day's event, because we just can't discuss the strategy plan and the budget
within the few hours that we have. So I'm really just asking these questions, hoping that there will be another opportunity in future to discuss these issues, particularly the budget. But one would like to congratulate the department for the work done so far. I must say particularly the strategic plan, because I can see in the strategic plan some of the issues and the concerns that have been raised by the committee from time to time. In my opinion, I think they are catered for. I couldn't ask for more myself, because it depends whether really, in spite of the good work that has been done, we'll be able to implement all what we have set ourselves to do, particularly in the light of what the DG also said, which is also something that we have also been raising too, that the challenge for the department is so big, and yet also this department has been recognized as one of those departments that can provide jobs, create jobs. And we have been saying this, and we believe it is possible. But obviously, the budget constraints are there. You see it, you know, all over as you read the thing. But Chairperson, to just to ask some specific questions, I see reference to the climate change. I want to believe that this is with regard to tourism. I am just not clear. I wish there was time for you to explain to me more in detail as to how exactly we are hoping to come in this area. It's very important, very, very important. We all agree. At first, you know, we thought that the talk about climate change was just a dream, an illusion. But we see it, we feel it daily. I must say, particularly this last year, 2010, everybody now believes that there is a change in the climate. And of course, what we have just seen happening in Japan, it really makes us think more and more deeper into this issue. But what do we mean about climate change in relation to tourism? That's my question. The second one, Chairperson, I just asked three. The second one, Chairperson, maybe it's not even a question, but it's a call. Maybe also here some concern. Although I might find that I'm contradicting myself here, but somewhere in the strategy of the department, I think in the document that we use is on page 12 and page 13. It talks about black SMMEs and black graduates and what the department, what the strategy is in terms of the black SMMEs and black graduates. I'm not quite sure if this is the terminology we should use. Much as I understand why, and I probably understand who we are speaking about, you know, when you talk of graduates, for example, I ask myself the question, what about the white ones? Are they already catered for? Because I think if you talk of graduates at this time, we're really talking about the young generation. I'm not sure why we are only singling out the black graduates. What about the other graduates, if we are going to train? I think this is about training or something like that. As I say, I know I'm contradicting myself. I'm one of those people who have stood here for what we usually refer to as the previous disadvantaged communities, who, of course, happen to be black. And I do appreciate the fact that the government is addressing it. But the way it is put here, it makes me have another question again. Sorry about that. There's a slide, you know, from South African Tourism. It is speaking about one item is about the budget for the Africa portfolio. And then it says, this includes domestic tourism. Unfortunately, I didn't see the actual figure, you see. I would be interested in that because my question would have been, what is the proportion of the total budget that the SAT has with regards to domestic tourism? And I'll say I'm also happy to see it in black and white that SAT is there also to promote domestic tourism. But now my question would have been, in your budget then, what proportion of that budget do you put towards domestic tourism? Now you are combining it with Africa, the whole of Africa. Then it makes me wonder again whether really we can achieve what we are also aiming at. Is it enough? Africa, the whole continent, plus our domestic tourism here, which we have also said is the backbone of the industry. The new offices, Chairperson, it says that you are not able to open new offices. I read somewhere again in one of these documents, I can't remember which one it is, but it was talking about the fact that the department has put aside, you know, the opening of the office in Brazil. I think Brazil was specifically mentioned. Is this the case? And what disadvantage does this have on the fact that, for instance, you know, we already have this relationship with a country like Brazil, and now if you can't open an office in Brazil, are we not disadvantaging ourselves in probably what we would get between Brazil and South Africa, the travelers between South Africa and Brazil, taking into account the fact that there's already at a very high level this relationship with Brazil under, for instance, that is a structure which you refer to now as BRICS, you see. Yeah, that's my concern and my question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, sir. Any other question? Okay, my turn Blanche and Marlene.
Thank you, Chair. I see we've got a very limited amount of time left. I firstly want to ask if we can get the same presentation that has just been presented to us, because we don't have the same stats, and there's several issues that I would like to go and look at later. Then just on page 15 of the SAT presentation, knowledge of the brands, South Africa ranking versus direct competitors, one of the things, number three from the top, natural wildlife experience, we rate quite highly. I just want to ask the department or SAT, regarding that wildlife experience, what is their opinions on the building of extra hotels and other conference facilities in the Kruger Park? Because, you know, no matter where one meet people in the world, that is one of the places. They want to see Table Mountain, they want to go to the Kruger. And I don't know whether enough studies have been done, whether those facilities that are available at the Kruger is actually utilized enough, and whether there is really a need for some other facilities. And also, from an environmental point of view, what is the impact going to be? They say, the articles that I've read say it's going to be very limited, you know, but as I said previously, my husband's a butterfly collector, and someone may look at the trees or the other things, that's all the big five, and that for them it may be limited. But if you take away an ecosystem where perhaps in a small habitat, a butterfly only flies there because of the certain vegetation that you find, and you build a hotel there, then the butterfly will go extinct. So, I mean, I would really like to know what is the main thrust behind this thing, and whether both the department and SA Tourism has got any opinion on this. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I want to get clarity on the issue of disability, because we know that the Deputy Minister has talked about this 5% publicly, So I don't know what is a challenge, because on 2012-2011, you plan to have 2%. So I don't know what is a challenge to have 3% to add on the 2% so that we can have that 5% of people. Is it the problem of budget, or you don't have those people? Maybe you don't get those people with disabilities. I want to get clarity on that, Chair.
Okay, we've got a very few minutes, but it's about 8 minutes. Let us give responses, but let me assure you, we are still going to have a strategic planning meeting in Diagene on the 29th of March. Yes, and we should also rearrange the way we package even the presentations, because it should be according also to our oversight imperatives. If you get what I mean, in some instances, like the Millennium Development Goals, I think we are going to have a conference here in Parliament sometime later this year, where each committee shall have to present as to what each department it oversees has done in as far as the Millennium Development Goals. As I've said, poverty, around gender, around the poverty eradication, environment, those types of things, partnerships for development and so forth. It makes our tasks much easier around the goals of the government, 5-year goals, rural development, the inclusive growth, jobs, and this thing. I'm not saying that it should be totally done for us, but I think we've got to take it into account that when we oversee you as well, we also, as part of oversight, use those those parameters as part of our dashboard. So to quickly refer to some of the things that you say. Then I just wanted to say that for more effective oversight as well. But let us go on until 1 o'clock, and then I'll say again, and then take it further on the 29th. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. Maybe some of the question I'll ask Myron to respond to the question that deals with the climate change. But on the question of the black DEE, which is raised by the Honorable Njobe here. Now, if you look at our legislative framework on BEE, actually, it's black economic empowerment. Now, in the industry, we realize that we have a lot of small SMMEs. But these small SMMEs, they come in terms of the bed and breakfast and so on. They're not that well developed in the black community. I was saying the other day to the team here that when I come to Cape Town, I like to go and spend some time at a bed and breakfast in Guguletu or Nyanga. It has been very difficult to identify some. So you find that disparity in terms of the bed and breakfast, which are essentially family-owned and very small entities. Now, if you come here in the city, you would find that there are so many bed and breakfasts here. But they are purely owned by whites, so it has a lot of an impact on the transformation process. So that's why we really need to focus on dealing with that. And it goes back to our own constitutional framework in terms of how we define and the terminology that is used in our constitutional framework. Maybe I would concede that we need to be much clearer compared to the manner in which we've reflected on this matter in the strategy, so that it's quite clear what is it we are communicating. Now, on the question of people with disability and the percentage that we are having now. In terms of the required target, we are at 2.5 now. We are way beyond above the target of 2%. But we set ourselves a very ambitious target of 5% to go over and above what we are expected in government. And we've taken a decision that as we go through at the recruitment now, because we're just setting up our new head office building, that as we move into the new head office building during this recruitment cycle, we need to deliberately advertise certain posts that will reflect that we need people with disability. What we've said to our legal team is to try to find out, as we do this advertisement, are they not going to be challenged that there's some level of discrimination? And then you run a paralysis. As you know, in terms of our legal framework, anyone can challenge anything. Now, if we're not on solid ground, we may find this paralysis. Somebody would come up with an interdict to say, no, this one is discriminating against people who are not living with disabilities. So those are the challenges that we're trying to do as we advertise, because we realize that if we don't deliberately indicate that we need people with disabilities, you'll keep on getting them not applying. And if they don't apply, then the challenge is the problem. And maybe they are not applying, not because they don't want to apply, but because of the stereotype that is contained within the whole recruitment cycle. Maybe they have had bad experience that they apply, don't even get responses and so on. So there's going to be a need to do that deliberately. But the challenge, again, is to try to manage that against what may come up as any litigation. Then we run into problems. So we are really considering still moving to the target that we set for ourselves. And I think that target is achievable, as long as we are able to clearly indicate that we need people with disabilities. We're setting up the new building there, and we've catered for people with disabilities and offices, even people who are visually impaired, to have systems that will cater for people who are visually impaired there. So, but we need to set up the systems now as we are moving to the new building. We have the advantage because we are moving to a new building. I hope that will be catered for. But it's something that is a huge challenge to really deal with. Now I was saying maybe Myron will come up on this climate change and the inclusion in the strategy and exactly what it means. With your permission, Chair, Myron can come on this one.
As long as they'll be short, it's okay, because really serious time constraints now.
Thank you, Chair. Very quickly, the Department of Environmental Affairs has got a green paper on climate change and National Action Plan for climate change. In the paper, it stipulates that each sector, that is, each department that's dealing with a particular area, must begin to develop a national action climate change approach, a plan for that particular sector. So that's one of our obligations. Secondly, it relates directly to the activities of businesses in the tourism sector. If, for instance, suddenly there's massive large-scale flooding, and that particular area had to supply food, you know, to the industry, then we are saying that we have to discuss with the industry and say, how do we adapt in the event those kinds of things happen? You might have also other kinds of problems where, for instance, the rise in temperatures might wipe out a particular kind of thing like flora and fauna in the Western Cape, and that attracts a lot of tourists. If that climate change is going to affect and kill off those species, and those species were the trump card by which you were attracting certain niche tourists to come in, then you have to adapt and there could be also like heavy rainfalls which destroys infrastructure which around which was planned major cycling events, for instance, which attracted world competitors and world tourists to those cycling events. And so hotels have to adapt. Drought is another matter where your supply of water is reduced. How do you adapt to cater for that food drought? And also, how do you undertake efforts to reduce the emissions of carbon, which we know is resulting in greenhouse gases? So we are saying to industries that you have to have a plan where you recycle waste, you know, you use water frugally or very wisely and efficiently, and you look at electricity and energy resources and have different methods, adapt to different ways of using different types of technology to save on electricity, because all of these things contribute in total. There's also overseas problems, and we heard about the volcano, for instance, which had this ash cloud. So that means your planes can't bring people into your country, and if you're not getting people in for almost 2 or 3 months or even 6 months, you have to then begin to repackage your products and reorganize yourself as a tourism, as an hotel or as a tour operator, in order to further attract. Thank you, sir.
Just briefly.
I'll just respond to Manjoba's question about Brazil. There's absolutely no doubt now about the importance of Brazil right now in our work. I mean, the figures at the end of the year, post-World Cup particularly, just clearly indicated that Brazil is very, very important to us. And the partnerships that continue to be formed across the board between ourselves and Brazil, tourism, business, and so forth, clearly shows that we should be in that space. We have begun a process of making sure we are active in market. We do need to open an office in Brazil. Why we don't have a full-time presence really there is because in our situation right now, it's a question of taking from Peter to give to Paul, and we are going to have to make some decisions around where we close and where we open, because that's part of our dynamic process, unfortunately. We cannot keep everywhere open as we pursue new opportunities. And that's the conversation we're involved right now. But be rest assured, it is an investment market for us in terms of its category. We have a presence there. We have done activations there. We continue to keep the South African presence very, very close to Brazil. And hopefully, in the next few months, we should be able to. I really am looking forward to it. All of us are, in fact, to having a full-time presence in Brazil. And Chairperson, just very, very briefly, from a marketing point of view, also around the disability issue, I just think that it's very important for us in our conversations with industry. We are constantly saying that industry has to be disability sensitive, that the product has to be, because in our marketing work, it will add great value that we are able to say that South Africa's products are sensitive to and cater for everybody, including, because there are so many huge, large conferences are being held in various parts of the world, and it's a big, huge constituency, and we need to reach out to them. Thank you. I think Johan will say something quickly about Africa.
Chairperson, I will just quickly speak to the two questions. In terms of domestic tourism, our budget for 11-12 is 19.5 million. It's exactly the same as the current year. I can maybe just mention that we've managed to use a portion of our foreign exchange savings as a result of the strong rand in the current financial year on the production of TV footage that will be used in our new campaign that will kick off in April. Although domestic has traditionally been housed in the Africa business unit, it's got its own country manager, and we are certainly looking a very close parallels between the segments of tourists in our SADC markets, in particular Botswana and Zimbabwe and Mozambique, and the domestic market. That's why we've traditionally also used the short left campaign in these markets. But we are looking at making domestic tourism a standalone business unit. Then I can maybe just quickly respond on the question on Sandparks. As Dr. David Mabunda from Sandparks explained earlier this week, the build-up areas in the Kruger National Park as a percentage of the total area is far below the world benchmark. We know from research that our ability to attract tourists also depend on our ability to innovate and create new experiences. In the particular case of these two concessions that's been granted for the hotels, a world-class conference center has been built and developed in Skukuza that's already open. The hotel that will be developed, for example, in Skukuza Rest Camp, will be next door to the conference center, and I think in our opinion it is a different experience that's offered to a different segment of tourists. So I think it's very important that while we should continue to do responsible tourism in South Africa, we should deliver on the demand for new experiences of tourists. Thank you.
No, I just wanted to add on this issue of Kruger National Park that we are guided by the Department of Environmental Affairs, which has the competency and the authority to do appropriate environmental assessment and impact on any project. On the basis of that assessment, which basically guides all of us within government in the tourism sector, will get involved in managing things that, or advertising or promoting things that we think are environmentally sustainable, because, mind you, there will be a lot of international NGOs that are looking at this project that are very concerned about it. And if we are not careful, they'll end up launching a huge campaign against some of our facilities. So I think the Department of Environmental Affairs and appropriate authority would give us better advice. And if there are contradictions between the environmental affairs, what they are saying, and even our own non-governmental organization that are involved in this sector, we'll be very careful how we handle it. Because you would recall, Chairperson, we had a bit of a challenge around the CITES in the last few years. How are we managing the sale of the elephant tusk and so on to also maintain the species and so on, because we did not manage it quite correctly. And the opposition came from within. So I think it's always better to manage this thing and be guided by the Department of Environmental Affairs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think let us try and end on that note. But perhaps we there shall always be difficult questions in any country, like the issue of black and white. And South Africa belongs to all black and white. That means our citizenship is of equal worth. But having said that, there is a particular past that we have had. And the President has said, let us go on and discuss these things and debate these things. And as on an ongoing basis, you cannot be correct at a certain point. Let us go on in a structured manner. But let us not forget that it is not the responsibility of the ruling party only to see to it that there is equity in the country. It is everybody's business. And let us discuss that in that spirit. And then if we discuss that, I think it, sooner than later we are going to all have a situation we can comfortably live with. I thank you. Okay, the strategic plan will continue on the 29th, yeah? Okay, thanks.